Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Don't
up.
Bit.
Pop pass up in the middle.
Got
Tucker's
it.
Got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit in. For an orange touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In, oh, to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
Yeah, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1. ESPN Radio, Heard where? Heard on 96.5 FM. Heard wherever you are. Whatever you are doing on the ESPN app. Not a great day here in the Qs today. It'll always take days when my in-studio thermometer reads 72 degrees, but it's cloudy. It's annoying enough in terms of rain that you can't really do anything. It's not like pouring rain, but it's like annoying enough. Like, everybody inside, right? Which we'll take today because we got a beautiful 4th of July. I hope everybody had a terrific 4th of July and 4th of July weekend. We get it. Fireworks. Everybody got all their fingers and toes. Great. Hope it was relaxing. Hope it was great. Happy birthday, America. The whole thing. But we're back, and if we're going to have a kind of a crummy, one of those crummy, rainy summer days, I think today's a good day for it, right? Just everybody's kind of recovering from the weekend, hanging out, maybe back to work, maybe starting vacations. We're into vacation season, and that includes Uncle Brent, by the way. So we're going to do, the plan is to do a few shows this week, and then I am off for 2 weeks. Try not to be too happy about that, by the way. You're way too happy about this. So the annual X-Man summer vacation is coming up, but we're looking forward to doing a few shows with you this week and looking forward to hearing from you at 437-7644 on Twitter, Brent Axe Media, and at a magical place called QSportsTalk.com where you can watch the program. You can chat throughout the program. We've got a live chat going there. You guys can opine as much as you'd like to, and I feel like today is one of those days. Now, if you want to call us in the traditional sense at 437-7644 or Twitter is your thing, Brent Axe Media, we're there for you, but the chat kind of provides you the opportunity at QSportsTalk.com for kind of a live, free-flowing conversation. You can react to things. Oh, wait, what about this point? And with the conference realignment madness back, hot realignment summer in the world of college football and how that affects Syracuse, as we will certainly discuss at length again today, that's something you want to participate in as much as possible. So QSportsTalk.com allows you the chance to do that. Matt Brown is going to join us today, a terrific college football writer. He has a great newsletter called Extra Points. He goes inside the world of college football like no one else. I'm glad we're finally getting the opportunity to talk to him. I'm a big fan of his work. I subscribe to his newsletter, and it's certainly a great time to bring on an expert like that to not only get us into the world of college football realignment, where we're at there, the latest news and rumblings, and he's very well-sourced, knows who to talk to. Name, image, and likeness, remember, is about a year old, and Matt has written extensively about that, knows about that, where we're going with that. So just a good guy to talk to that can kind of set us straight here. And I'm certainly interested in his opinion on Syracuse, the ACC, and where we're going with all this, but certainly all the other conferences, the big moves. I mean, the Power Five is no more. That I am fairly certain of, but where is that number going to end up? I mean, the SEC and the Big Ten clearly are pulling away. They are Wilson the volleyball, and they are floating away from Chuck Nolan on that raft, like, bye-bye, we're leaving you behind, right? How far ahead do they get? Does the Power 5 become the Power 2, or will it be a 3 or a 4? And Matt will give us all the insight on that. We will get into hot takes today, a rather disturbing stat if I'm a New York Knicks fan that may be finally turning around for you. More strong comments from the world of golf, LIV golf, and PGA golfers taking shots at the LIV guys. And a true American hero, Joey Chestnut, does it once again. But can somebody please emerge to challenge this man? It's getting boring. It's so boring that Joey Chestnut has to fight off protesters while he is in a cast from a leg injury while still winning this thing far and away. Like, that's, I feel like wrestling tactics are coming into this thing. Can someone please step up and challenge this man eating hot dogs without ketchup, of course. If you put ketchup on your hot dog this weekend like that, I just, how un-American can you be? How dare you on 4th of July week? So all that to come, the Blind Side, 10 questions after a busy weekend and more to come. But, yeah, certainly we start with the latest in conference madness here. I have been obsessed with this all weekend, not only because I'm fascinated by this kind of stuff, but I'm trying to find the best answers I can to the central question in all of this, which is, how does this affect Syracuse? Will this affect Syracuse? Of course, the answer to that is yes. It's the how. How crazy will this get? What is their place at the table? And see, when you start to ask some of those questions, it can bring about some pretty humbling answers. Because the conclusion I keep coming back to is, there's not a lot they can do. They can be aggressive. They can knock on doors. They can call the Big Ten. They can call the SEC. Listen, nothing's off the table here, folks. What we are seeing in the world of college sports these days, not that we weren't here before, but it is ever-present and it is in your face. They have taken the crazy out of the equation. They have taken the crazy out of the equation. That's what I meant to say there. What I mean by that is, just look at what happened last week. USC and UCLA in 2 years will be members of the Big Ten. Think of the craziest, dumbest geography, tradition, rivalries, nothing matters. You would be better off throwing darts at a map and forming a conference, because all that stuff does not matter. The only thing that does, it's a TV show. ESPN and Fox are pulling the strings, and that is where we're at, folks. Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC. ESPN recently acquired the rights to the SEC, starting, I believe, in 2025. That is not a coincidence. USC and UCLA announce intentions to go to the Big Ten. It just so happens that Fox is renegotiating its deal with the Big Ten. That is also not a coincidence. In a world where it feels like television matters less, it is everything to those entities. Because ESPN and Fox are going to do everything they can for as long as they can to suck every dollar dry until that well is dry, because sports is the last stand of live television. On a college football Saturday, if you're going to watch Ohio State and Michigan, you got to watch it live, and you will watch it live. That is it. That is the list. Sports. Live television is irrelevant. You can DVR everything else. You can watch everything else on streaming of some sort, be it entertainment, movies, even the local news, right? Oh, I want to watch my local news tonight. Maybe you do, but I can DVR that, catch up on it. I can read everything on Twitter or on their website. I don't need to be there. No offense to my friends in local news. I do not need to be there at 11 o'clock when you're on. Like, I'm going to get the story one way or the other. Sports, you have to be there in real time. So ESPN and Fox are doing everything they can to ensure that you are there to do it. So if you kind of caught this maybe going into the weekend, it was Thursday and it was before a holiday weekend, and a lot of people were just like, man, I just want to get to the holiday and get to camp and do what I got to do. Maybe you kind of kept up on it over the weekend. USC, UCLA announced their intention to go to the Big Ten. Surely it was not going to stop there. The speculation is running wild. That's why I want to have a guy like Matt Brown on today, because sourcing matters in this stuff. You got to know who to follow and who to listen to. It's fun to speculate, and we're left to a world of speculation of what the moves and the counter moves are going to do. I mean, this cloak and dagger game that's going to be played is fascinating. But man, as a Syracuse fan, you have got to be like, man, not this crap again. We went through this in the early 2000s, and it was Syracuse, Miami, and Boston College, and we're going to the ACC until we weren't, right? Some good old boy Virginia politics swoop in there, and the next thing you know, it's Miami, Boston College, and Virginia Tech stepping in. The former governor of Virginia, Mark Warner, steps in, and Syracuse is out, which nobody was really that upset about. Remember, in the early 2000s, Big East football still existed. It clearly was starting to weaken and come apart at the seams, but there was still a thought then, folks, that the Big East, and this is 20 years ago, but there was a thought that they could essentially become the sixth conference. They could become and create a Power Six in addition to what the Power Five already was. That obviously fell apart, leading to second round. Now, see, that round of realignment, we all went through, saw the speculation. There was weeks of stories and thoughts and press conferences and Jay Crowdhamel and every coach up there discussing it. And like, it's happening until it wasn't. The rug gets pulled out from underneath Syracuse. They don't go, which a lot of people actually felt at the time was relief. Like, I didn't want to go there anyway. 2011 comes, September of 2011. And there was no speculation. There was no buzz. I mean, conference realignment was, the carousel was spinning again. So there was a thought, maybe could have, should have, but it just happened. I distinctly remember it happening. I was at Wegmans. I believe it was that a Saturday, if, of all things. And I just remember, like, I got to get on the air because it just, they just announced it. Syracuse, Pittsburgh going to the ACC. Not sources saying it could happen. Not maybe this is the deal. No, it, they just did it. And all of a sudden, we're like, whoa, we're in the ACC. Which if you had gone through, which most of us had at the time, but remembering what had happened less than 10 years beforehand, it wasn't a complete shock to the system, but it was still like, whammo, you're doing it. Just as, not that anybody is still happy about this. Like, everybody understands why Syracuse is in the ACC. Just nobody likes why. We all understand. We all understand the television money. We all understand the prestige and everything. It's like, I get it. But see, this is where sports, college sports, started to lose its soul. Because what college sports essentially is, folks, is a feeling. What separates college football from the National Football League is a connection, is a feeling, is tradition, is a uniqueness about that sport, your alma mater, traditions, tailgating, the marching band, right? The sounds, the smells, the feel of being back on campus, or just if you're somebody like me who grew up here in Syracuse, New York, and that was your professional team, and going to the Carrier Dome at the time, now the JMA Wireless Dome, but going to the Dome on a Saturday, that was your life. That's what you did. It's a feeling. And all of this is being stripped away for the sake of television programming. Which, by the way, okay, pot calling the kettle black here. I watch a lot of college football, as you do. We are to blame for this in a way because ESPN and Fox are doing this because they can, because people crave big matchups. But see, here's the dirty little secret. A lot of those big matchups are few and far between. Look at your typical college football Saturday. There's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of filler. There's a lot of, I don't even want to start listing examples, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of games where you're just like, it's background noise. Hey, it's football. I'll watch it, but I'm not going to sit here and watch this unless I'm pulled in by it, unless I have to, unless it becomes captivating. Now, are there people that just plant their ass on the couch and watch football from noon to midnight? Sure. But most people have lives. Most people have something going on, kids, whatever the case may be. It's the weekend, and it's like you have to prioritize which game you're going to watch. That's what they're in seek of. USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, and the other moves that are being rumored, as we'll get into with Matt Brown coming up, provides ESPN and Fox with more of those big games. That's all this is. It is the sanitized consolidation of college sports. Geography, rivalries, traditions, be damned for television payouts, which, again, you, the fan, does you care because it places where your standing is in this big game you got to play here, a seat at the big boys and big girls table, in this case, big boys table because it's football, right? You care about that, and there's a fear. You're a Syracuse fan, you're like, we just did this, and now you're telling me that the ACC has to fight it off again, which, by the way, we will get into because, man, Jim Phillips, I know he's only been on the job for a year, but this guy may have really, really screwed the pooch on this whole thing already. Now, what the ACC has going for it, what will ease your fears, is that grant of rights deal that the ACC signed. Now, the bad news is they cannot renegotiate their media rights deal until 2036. Now, you can start like making the contract a couple years ahead of time, but that thing is signed through 2036. I mentioned it earlier. The Big Ten is currently redoing their deal. The SEC deal just got done, and it's going to provide a payout of somewhere between $80 to $100 million per school per year. The Big 12 and the Pac-12, which one of those two is going to cease to exist soon, and I think it's going to be the Pac-12. And there's already reports out there today, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports reporting that the Big 12 has already made inquiries to bring in six Pac-12 schools, which would obviously cause the Pac-12 to either cease to exist or have to merge with the Big 12, which, by the way, would be a killer basketball conference, but different topic for different part of the show. The ACC's grant of rights deal, I actually read it over the weekend. Shout out to Andy Staples of The Athletic, who actually found somebody who provided him with the actual document. So if you want to nerd out and go read it, I was fascinated to read it. My take, I am not a lawyer, but my takeaway from that was this would be really, really hard to get out of, but not impossible. Because no one's challenged it legally. It's said to be airtight. It's said to be as good a deal as can be to keep a conference together. Remember, they made this thing. In short, a grant of rights deal basically means the league owns the distribution of media rights and the payout that comes from that. And by the way, see, the side topic from that that we will get to later is what I think will result of this. If I can make one firm prediction out of this whole uncertainty, is that the revenue distribution in the ACC is going to change. That they can change. And what I mean by that is it will not be an even distribution. And all 15 schools getting the same amount of money. Because you got to keep the top-tier teams happy and do everything you can to incentivize Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, Miami in particular to turn down the inquiries that are coming, if haven't already come, from the SEC and the Big Ten. So Jim Phillips has really made some missteps so far. That's a way he can at the very least try and satisfy some people, even within the boundaries of this grant of rights deal. But if I can make one prediction on this whole thing, the distribution of money from the ACC is going to change, which, by the way, if you're Syracuse, which has collected the least amount of wins in the ACC since they joined the league in football and is generally seen as a lower-tier ACC team, that's not good news for you, but it's a sacrifice you're going to have to make to keep this thing intact and keep a seat at the big boys' table, because Syracuse is not a desired property, folks. Syracuse is not one of those schools that's, I'd love to be wrong about this, but they're not one of the schools high on the list that's getting a call from the Big Ten or the SEC or whatever wacky scenario you can come up with, folks, because they have taken the crazy out of the equation. Geography, regions, traditions, nothing matters. You know what matters? Brands. Big names. This Saturday, USC, Ohio State on Fox. That's all that matters. And the reason and the connection and the feelings you have and the reason you dedicate yourself to watch college sports, we're still going to watch it. It's not going anywhere, obviously, given the dollars that are out there, but It's being sanitized, and its soul is being taken away from us. Now, when college football arrives in a couple of months and we see these great games, like, all this stuff goes away, like, and we just get captivated by it again, and that's what they're counting on. But here, when we can zoom out and look at it rationally, like, tell me how this is good for the sport. It's great for ESPN and Fox. It's great for the conferences. It's great for the school payouts. How is this better for you as a college sportsman? You get some great games out of it. You're also going to get a lot of garbage out of it and a lot of just filler. Fans don't brag about this stuff. When's the last time you got in an argument with a sports fan? Like, yeah, have you seen our television payout compared to yours? No, fans just want to watch the games and tailgate and be entertained and root for their team to win and think their team has a path. Give me some hope. You know what? As much as the reality is and the fear that Syracuse fans have that they don't deserve a seat at this table, it is still sports. They defeated Clemson in 2017 when Clemson was the number two team in the country. They almost beat Clemson a year later, and they lost to Clemson by three last year. Because you line up and play. Now, has that been few and far between? Yes. Has it happened enough to give Syracuse fans that little glimmer of hope and, again, that collective feeling that things can happen with your favorite team on any given Saturday? Yes. And that's why you watch. If all this goes through the way that it's projected to with the super conferences and what's going to be left of everything, that feeling, at the very least, is going to change and will not be the same. And will not, it will be sanitized, and it will be, for some, a thing of the past. Because they just, like, a significant amount of fan bases are just going to move on or just not be as passionate about it because they're not in the super-duper conference club. And that's the fear. Much more to come on that, including with Matt Brown, who joins us in just a few minutes. Terrific college football writer. A man is terrific at what he does, ladies and gentlemen. Recovering from the 4th of July weekend, the one and only Lee Baldwin joins us to tell us how things went on the market with everybody getting back at it today after the holiday weekend. How'd we do, Lee?
Right back at it, Brent. And actually, stocks shook off an early 700-point drop in the Dow to actually the S&P and NASDAQ were positive. The Dow was only down about 130 points, and that was because of United Health Group, which is part of the Dow, and that was most of that. So we had a nice bounce. So my diamond today is I'm going to go with beaten down retailer Wayfair, up 19%, but don't go spend all that money. They're down 70% a year still. So. But there you have it. We're back.
Good tips, my friend, and appreciate the insight as always. The great Lee Baldwin from Lee Baldwin & Company. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, go see Lee and his great crew and Mike and Bill and the great voices you hear that call in during this segment. So we have all the diamonds and none of the dogs on your portfolio. Lee, thank you as always. Let us take a break when we come back. Matt Brown, terrific college football writer from the Extra Points newsletter and more, will join us to tell us how all this is going to shake out as best as he can tell, right? Because it's still very unpredictable at this point. Stay right there.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back, friends. Yeah, shout out to our guy Madden Cuse on Twitter, who always sends great tweets. I do love talking about this stuff. I'm fascinated by this stuff, especially when it happens in the summer. Because Uncle Brent needs content. Hot realignment summer, but I also understand the balance there and the anxiety that it gives the Syracuse fan because, look, they want to be left in. We were just discussing this a bit during the Q Sports Talk break. In my lifetime, am I ever going to see Syracuse football represented in the college football playoff? I mean, that's a long time. I don't know how long I'm going to live, right? But if I live another 40 years, how often would I see that? It'd be a handful of times, right? But at least there's a path right now to the college football playoff. Win the ACC. Yes, they have the rankings and the whole television thing, but, like, you win the ACC as it stands, you're going to the college football playoff. Ironically enough, and I want to get to the Notre Dame angle of this too, one of the great blunders that could have ever occurred in college sports, the great Dan Wetzel wrote a terrific piece about this. And everything Dan Wetzel writes is great. But this in particular, you have to remember, recently it was Jim Phillips and the commissioner of the Pac-12, who's relatively new as well, George Kilitoff, I believe is how you say his name. I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. Larry Scott led the Pac-12 to the edge. George pushed him off it. They turned down the proposed 12-team college football playoff, which made so much sense, which I was so all in for, which tell me you wouldn't like that. It gives access to the teams that are on the outside looking in, automatic bids for the Power Five, and then put together a playoff that only added a couple of weeks to the schedule, which don't give me that crap about academics because they do college football playoffs in every other Division II, Division III, Division I, AA, or whatever they call it now, the FCS, right? Just stop it with the academics, which, by the way, would take place when most schools are on winter break. So stop it with that. And what about injuries? Give me a break. We all know it would have happened had the ACC and the Pac-12 signed on to it, which they did not. So that was one major blunder by Jim Phillips. And then there's good old Jimmy. Remember, look, the moment it came out, the moment this happened, everybody looked at it and said, this thing's a joke, especially the way it was being framed. Remember the alliance with the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC? And what made the alliance such a joke was it was just an attempt to react to Texas and Oklahoma. What shall you want about Texas and Oklahoma going from the Big 12 to the SEC? Who looks at either one of those schools in the SEC and thinks one of these things is not like the other? USC and UCLA in the Big 10, I'm sorry, you can brand me and TV market me and modern era me all you want. That does not make sense. It will never make sense. It doesn't fit. It is the proverbial square peg in the round hole. It does not fit. It does not make sense, and it never will. I get why it's happening. Don't tell me it makes sense, though, okay? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining, right, Judge Judy? Okay. That being said, the alliance. Remember what they were saying about the alliance? Because I do. I looked it up. Jim Phillips, quote, it's about trust. We've looked each other in the eye and made an agreement. If a signed contract is what it takes to get something considerable done, then we've lost our way. It's a great ethics lesson there, Jim. The minute you learn there's no honor amongst thieves, contracts matter, which ironically enough, the ACC has one of the most solidified grant of rights deals out there, which he had nothing to do with. He inherited. So let's look at the scoreboard here for Commissioner Phillips now that he's been on the job a year and we can start to judge this. Said no to the college football playoff, which had he approved and it went through, I still think maybe the super conferences happen, but the process slows way down. Because there's still a path, there's automatic bids, everybody's making money. Fox, ESPN, see the way the college football playoff would have been renegotiated would have been like the NFL playoffs. Right now, ESPN's got the whole thing. But in order to bring in more revenue, which makes sense, Fox, NBC, CBS, ESPN, everybody's got a piece of the pie like they do in the NFL. That's what the NFL does better than anything, television deals, because everybody... You are a television partner. Everybody gets a piece of the pie. Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN / ABC, they all get Super Bowls. They all get playoffs. They all get prime matchups, and they get flex scheduling, and they get everything they want in order to program live sports and the most valuable entity in live sports. That would have been the college football playoff, and it would have worked. So tell me again why Jim Phillips said no to that. And you got Jim Phillips telling me about trust and looking people in the eye, and that's honorable, but look what happened. It took less than a year for that whole thing to fall apart. And at the time, no, I mean, they're legitimately giving interviews and talking about, like, this is about trust. This is a gentleman's agreement that we're going to make sure that we schedule games with each other to counter what Texas and Oklahoma did because tisk, 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 how dare they do that? Now, the other big part of this, of course, is Notre Dame. Now, I listened to a few podcasts, talked to some people this weekend, read everything I could about this. I'm trying to think of the right way to frame this, because Notre Dame leaving the ACC is not good. But if you want to prevent like the total just chaos, super bloated expansion that people fear is coming, now the Big 12 is going to do it. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 are having a standoff right now. And one of three things is going to happen. The Pac-12 will cease to exist, the Big 12 will cease to exist, or they'll merge. If they're smart, they'll merge. The Big 12 already rumbles out there that Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, maybe Oregon and Washington are going to flee to the Big 12. So, yeah, the Pac-12 dies if that happens. You're over. Game over. I think this is, and remember, the Big 12 is a new commissioner who just started. I think this is the Big 12's way of saying, like, hey, we're interested in these schools. And the Pac-12's counter move has to be, hey, why don't we merge? The SEC and the Big Ten have these super conferences forming. Let's form our own super conference. What do you say there, pal? And I don't mean a handshake agreement. I mean, like, sign in blood right here. And let's go cash in. Because here's the thing, folks. The Big 12 and the Pac-12, their media rights deals are up in 2 years. The ACC's media rights deal, we're 14 years away from that contract ending. Now, again, if they expand, if a really good lawyer looks at it, maybe the grant of rights deal can be challenged, but the ACC is not in this game right now, and they are so far behind as it is that when the SEC and Big Ten payments start rolling in, when the new contracts kick in a couple of years, $80 to $100 million per freaking school. The ACC's current payout is $36 million. They're literally doubling up per school. Good for you, Rutgers. Old fat $85 million check for doing nothing. But hey, good gig if you can get it. Trust fund, baby. Good stuff. Way to go, Illinois. Woo! What did you contribute to this, by the way? So Notre Dame, as Matt Brown told us earlier, they are, ironically, like, they want to make the most money. They go to the Big Ten tomorrow. But they've always held off on this because they do value their independence. Now, if I'm the Big Ten, do I do the ACC deal? Do I say, we'll take all of your sports, full membership except for football. You can maintain independence, and you can do that little deal with here that you did with the ACC where you schedule our teams 5 or 6 times a year. Oh, and by the way, we will also give you a cut of our TV money. Do we get to keep our NBC deal? Yes. Now, if you're Notre Dame, why wouldn't you do that? And then eventually, 5 or 10 years down the road, you try and convince Notre Dame to make this a full marriage and not just, hey, we're living together. If you're the ACC, boy, are you going to be a woman scorned in that case, because the ACC has done this for years. All the other sports, full members. Notre Dame, now they are contractually obligated to join the ACC if they join a conference, but again, tell me a good lawyer can't get them out of that. They've been playing footsie with the ACC for years. Remember in 2020 when COVID hit and that nobody knew what to do? What are we going to do about college football? And oh, poor Notre Dame. Oh, you can come stay with us. They let Notre Dame in for a year as a full member. Now, they gave the ACC some of that sweet NBC money. And then they made the conference championship game. If anything, I distinctly remember talking about this. It showed that we now have the scheduling model, thankfully, that the ACC didn't need divisions. That this was the way. A little Mandalorian reference for you there. So Notre Dame's the next linchpin. And if Notre Dame is going to join a conference full tilt, it's going to be the Big Ten. I wouldn't doubt the SEC just because Greg Sankey's like this, because he's ruthless, because he doesn't make gentlemen's agreements. He actually gets you to sign in blood. I wouldn't doubt it if the SEC made a move on Notre Dame just to screw with the Big Ten, because those two are now like, they're the two super rivals. They're the only two left right? It's like Amazon and Walmart going at it. All those years, too. All those years, the ACC was just like, we're here for you, man. We got you. And then they're just going to flee at the first opportunity. They couldn't get it done. They could never seal the deal. The ACC has been in the friend zone with Notre Dame since they made this partnership. And then Notre Dame is just going to take off and go with the next hot thing that comes by. After all that time and all that investment and everything you did, and they just go date the hot cheerleader. What happened here? But that's next. Now, some of those reports that I heard and some conversations I had with some smart people over the weekend on this, the Big Ten, as much as, look, USC, UCLA calls, you can't say no to that. Well, we weren't planning to expand, but if you're telling us you're going to give us the Los Angeles television market when we've got our media rights currently being renegotiated, hey, come on in. Are you a member of that esteemed Association of American University? Oh, you are. Well, welcome. Yes, welcome. If Oregon and Washington are going to go, just do it. Just can stop just playing footsie here and ask them out. Just ask them out. Not on Tinder. Not, I mean, don't get me going on you kids today with your apps and your this and that. Back in my day, you know how we went on dates? We asked people, do you want to go to dinner with me? Like a human conversation. You're going to be going on that. But that's what needs to happen here. Just, can we please settle this? Like, Big 12 wants these schools. The Big 10 wants those schools. How are we going to divvy this up and just see where the dust settles on this whole thing? But Notre Dame might be the only other school the Big 10 adds next and adds in the next. I don't want to put a time frame on it because the world's so crazy right now, but the Big 10 just wanted to go out there and gorge at the all-you-can-eat expansion buffet. They could do it right now and have their pick, and anybody they pointed at would certainly accept that rose. Apparently, they don't want to do that. That could be good news. Shoulder shrug emoji, don't know. But they're definitely the most desired brand left out there, and they're the linchpin that's either going to have this whole thing fall in on itself or actually, ironically, by joining the Big Ten, hold it up a little bit, which the ACC certainly wouldn't be happy about. But tell me you didn't see that coming. They could never seal the deal, and you tell me Jim Phillips is going to be the guy that finally convinces Notre Dame, Mr. Handshake deals and honor. What's that college football playoff that would ensure billions of dollars and an automatic bid for my league and would be essentially like hold off all this super conference stuff? No, come up with something better. I mean, give me a break with this guy, right? Right, Paul Feinbaum, who put it best in this clip we played earlier?
Of two super conferences, the ACC and the Big Ten, and quite frankly, nobody else really mattering. And if you're the ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, you've been on the job a year and a half, you have to be beside yourself because you help kill the CFP.
College football playoff is what he's talking about there. And, you know, I hope I'm right about something. We'll get to a break and we're going to switch gears. And our friend Nick Friedell said he can come on with us and we want to switch gears, talk a little NBA free agency with him. But what Syracuse is hoping is their ace up the sleeve. Matt Brown was on with us earlier, and you're saying sometimes even ADs aren't in on these conversations. John Wildhack is definitely in on these conversations, and the ace up the sleeve that Syracuse had by having a guy like John Wildhack as their athletic director, he not only knows these TV deals and these media rights deals, he made these deals at ESPN. He knows the ins and outs of this better than anybody. So if you're Jim Phillips, I hope like hell you were on the phone a lot with John Wildhack over the weekend. He's gotten the consultation from John Wildhack, not only this weekend, but over the past year on this stuff. And as a payback, Syracuse gets a little something-something in return. And if not, John Wildhack's got to read, this ain't the place, this ain't the guy. And as much as Syracuse doesn't have any leverage versus some other schools out there, use that knowledge and that power to put Syracuse in the best place and the best position to be wherever that is, because as I've stated many times, and I will state many more in this insane world we're in now, normal is out of the equation. It doesn't matter. Geography, tradition, doesn't matter. Where is the best place for Syracuse to get that big old fat TV money? Because that's where you need to be. We'll ponder that more as we go, but we'll break and come back with our friend Nick Friedell. Stay right there.